Henry Morgan Show. Yes, transcribed, the Henry Morgan Show with Arnold Stang, Mae Questel, Doris Dalton, Elsie Mae Gordon, music of Milton Kadams, me, Ben Grauer, and tonight's special guest, Miss Ethel Merman. And here's the star of the Henry Morgan Show, standing on his favorite corner in front of the cigar store.
Good evening, anybody. Here's Morgan. Pardon me. I was up all night. I was reading a wonderful mystery. My checkbook. What a book. It was so fascinating I couldn't put it down until I finished it. Ooh, what an ending. Let me read you a couple of my check stubs. They show exactly where my money went. Let's see, check stub. Here's one, April 6th, 2820, for what is this? Looks like a secondhand Bronkert. That's a lot of money for a secondhand Bronkert. Could get a new one for that. Let's see, April 14th. $46.75 for a Frobish Klang. Yeah. April 19th, $75 to W.L. Chapman. Well, that's clear. April 23rd, birthday present for sponsor, $2. Well, I always give the sponsor cash. Let him buy anything he wants. May 2nd, $32.50, cleaning and polishing Bronkert. That's what I get for buying a second-hand Bronkert. May 13th, $65 to W.L. Chapman. May 24th, $20 on Blue Boy in the third. May 27th, $40 on Blue Boy in the fifth. May 29th, $80 on Blue Boy in the fourth. May 30th, $5 for new shirt. June the 2nd, $8.40 for box of... can't make this out. Oh, Cranswid? Box of Cranswid. For Bronkert. That's a Cranswid. Looks like it's... Oh, that must be canary seed. Oh, yeah, canary seed for the Bronkert. Let's see, the Bronkert might... Oh, sure. Brunette. Bought some canary seed for a brunette. No, that can't be. Why should I pay for cleaning and polishing a secondhand brunette? That's it. Oh, no. June 12th, $87 to W.L. Chapman. July 1st, $75 rent on new apartment. July 1st, $4,000 for furniture in new apartment. July 2nd, $15 to junk dealer to remove furniture from new apartment. July 24th, $81 to W.L. Chapman. Well, that's a sample. And by studying your check stubs, it's easy to tell where the money goes. There's one thing bothers me. Who is W.L. Chapman? Well, excuse me. Here comes my friend Gerard. Hello, Gerard.
Hiya.
Hi, Gerard. Say, what you been doing lately?
I'm still on the jury.
On a jury? No kidding.
Yeah, grinding out justice.
2 weeks in the same court, eh? Boy, by now you certainly must be impressed by the dignity of the judicial atmosphere, the legal decorum, the majesty of the judge.
Eh.
Weren't impressed much by the judge, huh? Say, who was the judge, anyway?
Was His Honor Chief Magistrate of Part Two of Special Sessions Courts, the Honorable Clifford Van Druten, Jr.
Oh, Clifford Van Druten, Jr.
Yeah, fatso.
What?
Listen, he's the judge, but he ain't exactly Lewis Stone, you know.
Oh, Gerard, don't you think you should have more respect for a judge?
Hank, when you're behind the scenes like me, you ain't impressed just because a guy comes out in a long black robe.
No, huh?
No, in fact, I got a hunch about that judge.
Where is it?
Underneath that robe, he don't wear no pants.
No pants?
You heard me.
Have you any reason for saying a thing like that?
Listen, why spoil a good crease for nothing?
Oh, I know, but...
Yeah, he ain't on that bench to support his tailor, you know.
I know, but you're right.
Hank, for money, His Honor Judge Clifford Van Druten Jr. is sitting there in his shorts.
All right. Well, tell me, what kind of cases did you have today?
Well, today there was a case where two companies was fighting.
What are they fighting about?
Well, one company was mad because the other company had a bigger fiduciary.
Fiduciary?
Now, what's the matter? It ain't dating.
No, but I'll bet you don't even know what a fiduciary is.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I know plenty.
Yeah, what?
I know that judge wasn't wearing pants.
Gerard, the case involved a fiduciary. Now, a fiduciary holds in escrow a monetary indenture for a person or persons possessing a trust fund.
You're so smart.
Yeah?
How come you bet on the Dodgers?
I was sick. Anyway, what happened to the case?
Finally, after arguing back and forth and back and forth, the two lawyers decided to settle it out of court.
Out of court, huh?
Yeah, they went out into the alley and beat each other's brains out.
Thank you. Well, see you around, Gerard.
Good luck, boy.
Well, with Gerard on the jury, I hope justice is really blind. Hey, here comes a good-looking gal. Pardon me, miss. You know, you look enough like Ethel Merman to be your sister.
No, my sister's name is Mabel. I'm Ethel.
Gee, I'm glad to know you, Miss Merman. My name's Henry Morgan.
So you're Henry Morgan. You know, you look just like you do in real life.
Yeah.
Isn't there anything you can do about it?
Well, it isn't necessary to do anything about it, Ethel. I'm staying in radio.
Why?
Well, I did make a movie.
Yes.
And I had a television show.
Yes.
So, by popular demand,
I'm staying in radio. Yeah.
Hey, Ethel, I got a great commercial idea for us. What are you doing these days?
Me? Oh, I've got a radio program on NBC.
Good. Then you can use the money. Now, listen. Now, no kidding. Don't laugh. Don't laugh. Here's the idea. Now, don't laugh. Don't laugh. Now, how about you and me getting together to form a singing team?
Why?
Why what?
Why can't I laugh?
No, listen. You and I could work well together. The Henry Morgan Show with Ethel Merman. What's the matter? Oh. The Henry Morgan and Ethel Merman Show. No, huh? The Ethel Merman and Henry Morgan Show? The Ethel Merman Show with Henry Morgan? The Bob Hope Show? All right. The Ethel Merman Show.
Oh, that one sounds very catchy.
Yeah, I imagine.
But why me? There are so many other singers you can team up with, like Margaret Truman.
Oh, no. No, our voices sound too much alike, otherwise... But no, Ethel, really, you and me, kid. Hey, look, why don't we try a song together? Try a song together.
Here in the street, there's no orchestra.
You know it's better that way? You know, sometimes... I didn't mean an orchestra, but it's a part of it. But sometimes it's better. Really, it is. Because the music is so beautiful that people... You know, when singers are singing, the music's so beautiful that people don't realize how much meaning there is in the words.
How you mean?
Well, take a song like... They say it's wonderful. The one you made so popular. It's a beautiful poem.
Maybe you're right.
Sure. We don't need an orchestra. It's the words. Here, do it with me.
Okay, start it.
They say that falling in love is wonderful.
It's wonderful.
So they say.
And with a moon up above, it's wonderful.
It's wonderful.
So they tell me.
Can't recall who said it.
I know I never read it.
I only know they tell me that love is grand.
And?
The thing that's known as romance is wonderful.
Wonderful?
In every way.
So they say.
Listen, Ethel, I'm on the air tonight. Why don't you come over to the studio with me now and sing a song for the people?
With an orchestra?
With an orchestra.
Alone?
Alone.
Okay.
Swell. Taxi! Oh, taxi! Good evening, anybody. I just ran into just about the most wonderful girl in show business, and she promised to sing a song for you if I give her an orchestra. So Milton Kadams, raise your baton and conduct Alexander's Ragtime Band for our very special guest, Miss Ethel Merman.
Ragtime band, come on and hear, come on and hear. It's the best band in the land. They can play a bugle call like you never heard before. So natural that you want to go to war. That's just the bestest band one ever. Oh, my honey lamb, come on along, come on along. Let me take you by the hand. Up to the man, up to the man, who's the leader of the band. And if you care to hear the Swanee River played ragtime. Come on in here, come on in here, Alexander's Ragtime Band. Oh, my honey, oh, my honey, better hurry and let me meander. Ain't you going, ain't you going to the leader man, ragged leader man? Oh, my honey, oh, my honey, let me take you to Alexander's grandstand, brass band. Ain't you coming along? Come on along. Come on in here. It's the best band in the land. So come on in here. Come on in here. Alexander's Ragtime Band. Come on in here. Come on in here. It's the best band in the land. They can play a bugle call like you never heard before. That's just the bestest band, whatever. Oh, honey lamb, come on along, come on along. Let me take you by the hand. Up to the man, up to the man, who's the leader of the band. And if you care to hear the Swanee River played in ragtime, come on in here, come on in here, Alexander's Ragtime
Thank you very much, and you're hereby invited to join us next week at the same time over these same stages.
Okay, Henry, I'll be there. Good night.
Good night. Thank you. You know something, Benno?
Yes, Henry?
I don't want to change the subject, but Ethel ain't going to sing but the one song, see? So I got to change the subject. I've been listening to some of the radio news commentators lately.
Uh-huh.
And amazing how much significance they get out of the simplest items.
You mean...
Yeah. Let's see, Ben, how the commentators interpret Little Miss Muffet. Would you introduce me, Ben?
Little Miss Muffet, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, your favorite newscaster, Gabriel Morgan.
Ah, there's good news tonight. The headlines may scream about war and atom bombs somewhere. But somewhere tonight, there's a little girl. Somewhere. Little Miss Muffet. Somewhere. And she's not worrying about war and atom bombs. She's just sitting on her little tuffet. On, picture this if you can. This little girl somewhere with her curly blonde hair and her blue eyes and her pug nose somewhere is sitting on a tuffet and dreaming dreams. Not about war and atom bombs somewhere, but of curds and whey. Yes, she believes in the American curd and the American whey. And she's not alone. Throughout this great land of Oz, there are a million Miss Muffets sitting on a million tuffets, dreaming dreams somewhere. And I have a message for them wherever they are, somewhere. And the message is, get up. Get up off those tuffets. Watch out for that spider. Good night.
Thank you, Gabriel Morgan. And now for another view of the news, your favorite newscaster, H.V. Carlton Morgan.
Good evening. In Washington, government officials are all asking one question. Who is Muffet? This mysterious individual is in our nation's capital attempting to purchase goods and whey. It is perfectly apparent that there's a plot by a certain foreign power, which shall be nameless, Russia. One thing is apparent, however. Official Washington must confront Muffet and demand an answer to this question. Who is the spider? In my opinion, there is only one explanation for the appearance of this special foreign agent in Washington at this particular moment in world history, and that is, good night.
Now, for your favorite newscaster, Walter Morgan.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. American. All the ships to sailor go to press. Chicago, bulletin. Hey, diddle, diddle. The cat and the fiddle. The cow jumped over the moon. The little dog laughed to see such sport, and the dish ran away with a spoon. Don't be a fool, dish. They got Dillinger, and they'll get you. 2 weeks ago, your reporter stated that Little Miss Muffet sat on the tuffet eating her curds and whey. At that time, it was denied. Well, tonight I'd like to add something else. Get this. Along came a spider and sat down beside her and frightened Miss Muffet away. Ha! Good night.
Hey, Benno.
Yes.
Let me ask you something. Is there anything we've had on this program that you'd like to see more of?
Yes, money.
You're getting greedy, Ben. You know we're doing this all for science. But I think we should show people more examples of the way things happen in real life and the way they happen in the movies.
You mean they exaggerate a little in the movies?
I mean, it's two different ways of living.
For example,
Ben, I'll show you the real-life way things happen, and then I'll show you the movie way things happen.
Uh-huh.
For instance, Man is saying goodbye in a railroad station to a girl. Now, first, this is the movie way. Well, honey, I'm afraid...
No, don't say it. It's not goodbye. Au revoir.
Well, all right.
I'll miss you every moment you're away.
Yeah, well, I'm...
The days will be nights, and the nights will be endless.
Gosh, I'll...
Hold me once more before you go.
Oh, I'll be up.
Now go. Hurry, please. I can't bear long goodbyes.
Well, okay.
Oh, no, wait. Let me look at you once more so I can remember.
All right, I'll...
Sure. I think I'm going to cry. Please go.
Okay, I'll...
Wait. Here, take this. It's just a cheap little bracelet, but it'll help you remember. Now go. Go.
Okay, then. Well, I'm...
No, no, wait. Give me back the bracelet.
Yeah, all right. Here, here's the bracelet.
Wait for me, darling. I'll be watching.
Okay,
I'll... Oh, no, I'll cry. Now, please go.
Okay, I'll...
Oh, George, I don't want you to go. I don't want you to go.
No, you don't. You made me miss my train. Now, the same goodbye scene in real life.
Well, so long, dear. I'm going to miss you.
Goodbye. Don't forget to tell him I will.
Wanted to tell her to get off the train. I was supposed to leave.
Then, of course... then there are two entirely different ways in which a man rushes up to a doctor who is just coming out of an operating room. First, this is the way they do in the movies.
Oh, Mr. Smith?
Doc. Doc, is she okay? How is she, Doc? Would she be all right? Don't hold back, Doc. Tell me. You're keeping something from me. I know. Doc, listen. Is there anything I can do? Specialist? Should I call a specialist? Doc, if anything happens to her, I'll kill myself. That's what I'll do. I'll kill myself. Don't let it happen, Doc. Save it, Doc. She's all I have in the world. She's all I have.
Listen, your wife is all right.
Yeah?
Well, what are you scaring me for? Now, there's another way a man approaches a doctor who's coming out of an operating room. This is the way it happens in real life.
Oh, Mr. Smith.
Yeah, how much I owe you, Doc?
My fee is... My fee is $300.
Fair enough. How's my wife?
Fine, fine. She's perfectly all right.
Good.
Now, how about my $300?
Show me.
Now, as you know, there are two different ways in which a fellow and a girl have a quarrel.
The Hollywood way goes like this.
I hate you. I hate you. I've always hated you.
Come here, you.
Get your hands off me. I hate you.
Come here. Closer.
Let me go, I tell you. I hate you. Michael, you're hurting me.
I know.
I hate you. I hate you.
You do love me, don't you? Then here's the real-life version of a quarrel. It goes like this.
I hate you. I hate you. I've always hated you.
I know.
Get those dirty hands off me. I hate you.
I know.
Let me go. I hate you like poison.
I know. Come here. I know.
As you probably know, there are two entirely different ways to explain life on a college campus.
In the movies, campus life goes something like this.
Hi, Drip Drip.
Hi, SquarePants.
Solid.
Yeah.
Who are you dragging to the prom, Dom?
Yeah, you got a hag to drag to the shack?
Just press the flesh and don't be fresh. They'll be howling and yowling when I dance with my darling, Betty Lou Sue Anna.
Betty Lou Sue Anna? Wow!
Oh, I can hardly wait till it's
Saturday night on Grover's Corners.
But in real life, students on a campus sound more like this.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, let me come for your homework.
Okay.
Any more, Mr. Morgan?
One or two more, maybe.
Can we leave something out? Oh, yeah. I forgot the two ways in which a movie star is discovered.
First, the Hollywood way. A producer comes into the studio commissary for his breakfast.
Good morning, Mr. Pasternak. You want your eggs fried, boiled, or scrambled?
Wait a minute. Say that again.
You want your eggs fried, boiled, or scrambled? That?
Yes. But wait a minute. Take off your glasses. Wet your lips. Throw out your chest. Now, say it just like you said it the first time.
Good morning, Mr. Pasternak. You want your eggs fried, boiled, or scrambled?
Great, great. Be in my office at 11 tomorrow morning.
Oh, Mr. Pasternak.
And bring the eggs with you.
But in real life, it happens something like this.
Good morning, Mr. Pasternak. You want your eggs fried, boiled, or scrambled?
Wait a minute. Say that again.
Good morning, Mr. Pasternak. You want your eggs fried, boiled, or scrambled?
Just coffee.
Then there are two ways to show a fellow coming home and rediscovering the girl next door.
Here's the Hollywood version.
Mom, I'm home.
Oh, my son, my boy, you've been gone so long.
Gee, the old place still looks the same.
Yoo-hoo, can I come in?
Oh, hello, Mary. Son, you remember Mary Smith from next door? She was just a little girl when you left.
Mary Smith? The little girl with the pigtails, the freckles? Gosh.
Well, I guess I better leave you two alone.
Gosh.
Well, is that all you can say?
Gosh, I mean, will you marry me?
Oh, darling, I've been waiting all these years to hear you say that. Kiss me.
Gosh.
But here's that same type of scene in real life.
Hey, Mom, I'm home.
Oh, my boy, you've been gone so long.
Gee, the old place still looks the same. Hey, Mom. Whatever happened to that real cute girl with the freckles and pigtails who lived next door? Mary Smith. Is she still...
Yoo-hoo, can I come in? Oh, hello, Mary. Son, this is Mary Smith, the girl you were asking about.
This is Mary?
Just one more thing. The ending. Now, in Hollywood, the ending goes like this.
Say it. Say the words I've been waiting so long. Yeah.
I love you.
Yes, but here on this program, the ending goes like this.
Say it. Say the words I've been waiting so long to hear.
Morgan will be back in the same corner in front of the cigar store next week at the same time. Good night. Well, I sort of said good night, but I do want to thank Ethel Merman for being on the show tonight. And she promised that if I behave myself, she'll drop in again next Friday night. After that, she'll be busy with her own show, which will be heard on Monday nights beginning October 24th. Thanks again, and good night, everybody.
It's the Henry Morgan Show with Arnold Stang, Doris Dalton, Mae Questel, Elsie Mae Gordon, Bob Hastings, Milton Cadenson's orchestra, and tonight's special guest, Miss Ethel Merman. Morgan himself with Miss Merman, again his guest, will be back in his favorite corner in front of the cigar store next Friday night at the same time. Transcribed, the Henry Morgan Show is produced by Kenneth McGregor. This is Ben Grauer speaking.
Now it's Martin and Lewis on NBC.